Today's daf in Masechet Yevamot, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Kuf Vav, and we're holding right at the top of the daf. So this is going to turn out to be really central to our understanding of the whole methodology and the actual way in which the Chalitza works, in a way that is unique to Chalitza. And we're going to be talking about Reb Chaim Brisker's pshat over here, the Rambam, to get a deeper understanding. Anyway, so we start off with this question. Suppose the Chalitza was done b'ta'ut. Chalitza mut'et. Now, it's not at all clear what exactly that is referring to. What was the mistake? But a Chalitza that is mut'et, it says over here, is kosher. Now, what means Chalitza mut'et exactly? So Reish Lakish says, a chalitza mutet is referring to a case where we tell a guy who does not want to do chalitza, he wants to marry the Yavama. So we tell him the way to marry a Yavama is not by giving her a ring, it's by having her take off your shoe. Okay. So the guy says, all right, it's a weird way to marry a woman, but if that's what we got to do, that's what we got to do. This, of course, is the source of the minhag of making sure that if you want to get in charge of your husband, press down on his foot under the chuppah. So if you ever see any scuffling between the chassan and kal under the chuppah, who's trying to get whose shoe first, must have to do with the sugya. Anyway, so the guy goes ahead and he gives chalitza on that basis and says, it's kosher. Wow. Omar le Rabbi Yochanan, I don't understand what you're talking about, man. Didn't we have a braita before Anisha? I mean, I know I learned that braita. Bein shenit kaven hu, velo nitkavnahi. Bein shenit kavnahi, velo nitkaven hu, chalitza tak psula. It says beferish, if a person did not have in kavana to do chalitza, whether it was he or she, it isn't the chalitza. So I don't understand what you're saying. That's not chalitza mutate. That's not chalitza at all, because we don't have any kavana. And you're coming along and you're calling that a chalitza kshera because that's a chalitza mutate. That's not a chalitza mutate. I will explain to you what a chalitza mutate is. Ella, it's where we tell the guy, listen, you know what? What you need to do is you tell her, you don't want to do chalitza. I understand this is a big bizoyan. How about if you make $100,000 off of the deal, right? So let us give her chalitza on condition that she gives you $100,000. So then she's stuck, because if she won't give you the $100,000, she won't get her chalitza, right? So it's well worth it. So the guy says, oh, now we're talking. Okay, so he goes and he gives her chalitza, but then she never gives him any money. And that is called a chalitza mutet, and that is kosher. So kosher omrim lo, chalotzla amanachi titen lecha matayim zuz, even if she never gives it to him, it's kosher. Now, here comes the big issue. Why? Because as we know, there is a concept which is called a t'nai, right? So isn't this a t'nai? And therefore it will be mevatel, everything. So here is where we get into a fascinating machlokas rishonim, which is that according to Rashi and the Rush, and most of the rishonim, the reason it's not a binding t'nai in this case is because I'm sure you will recall the overall rule, which is kol t'nai she'eno kitnai v'nei gad v'nei ru'uvein eno t'nai. So where do we learn out the idea that you could commit a condition? Moshe Rabbeinu makes a condition with v'nei gad v'nei ru'uvein. If you guys go out and you fight first and you're the Marines, then you will be given this chelek in Eiver HaYarden. But if not, then you're going to be just like everybody else. You're going to get your chelek and the rest of Eretz Yisrael, and so on. But then he reverses it. So he has both, if you do and if you don't. So from there we learn out that you need a t'nai kaful, and so on and so forth. But there's another issue that is central to t'nai v'nei god v'nei ru'uvein, namely that it is doable through a shlichut. Masha einkein, chalitza cannot be done with a shliach, and therefore, it is not included in t'nai v'nei gad v'nei ru'uvein, because it doesn't meet all the criteria for t'nai v'nei gad v'nei ru'uvein. Now, you must admit that taking such a thing for granted is very strange, that the Gemara shouldn't say, and this case, that's what I want. I mean, it's just like, okay, but what can you do? There's got to be a good reason for why it is that we would assume that the Tanai is not tofes. And that is, as we said, the way that Rashi learns the sugya. The point, however, is that the Rambam, as usual, has got his own very special approach to this. And he doesn't mention in any way, he says the following words, amazing words. Afal pi shelo natna velo nitkayem hatnai chalitzatak sheira shahare nitkaven lachalotzla. What does that mean? Hare nitkaven lachalotzla, what happened to the din of Tznaim? The Rambam in Hilchot Tznaim, by the way, doesn't even mention this business about it has to be Mikuyam al Yedei Ashliach. He doesn't list that. He's got a whole list of the dinim of Tznaim in Hilchot Ishut. And he doesn't mention Efshel Kaimo al Yedei Shliach. So the whole idea doesn't exist, according to him. So what in the world is going on over here? So this is the ingenious pshat of the, this is a classic Reb Chaim Mibrisk, right? In which Reb Yochanan just finished saying nitkaven and so on. So over there, you would think, I mean, if he's complaining that this is not really nitkaven, so then why is it nitkaven if he thought he was going to be getting his money? Says Reb Chaim, there's two completely different dinim. This is the classic Brisker Sefaran Tzvei dinim. Sir Richard, wait, this is not a good time to get out of the car. Leave the baggage in the car for a minute. Hold on. You're going to miss the important Reb Chaim. Okay, we get the message. Okay, yes, we're all turned on both by the swimming pool and by the grass. Okay, beautiful. Now stand still for a minute and listen. So what are the two dinim? The two dinim are like this. There's a halacha in kavona, and there's another halacha in will, rotzon. Now, the question of the tnai, that has to do not with kavana, but in rotzayn. Remember, the act of chalitza that the guy is doing here, is he doing it as chalitza? Yes. Does he want to do it as chalitza? No, because if he had known that he wasn't going to be getting his money, he wouldn't have done it. So it was mutate. That's what we're saying. The mutate does not change the kavana of the act ki hu zeh. The act is defined exactly by the kavana, not by his rotzon. Therefore, where you're dealing with a get or you're dealing with kiddushin, over there, the act is not what achieves the desired result. Because in a kinyan, what achieves a kinyan is rotzon. I need to want to make this mine in order to be kinyan. If I really don't want to make it mine, the fact that I go through the motions of doing a kinyan is completely meaningless. That's why we have the mekach ta'ut and so on and so forth. So a kinyan that is done under false circumstances is not a kinyan because it lacks rotzayin. When it comes to chalitza, it never says anywhere that you need to do it, that you need to want it. It says only you need to do it. The whole element of Yibum, if you consider it from beginning to end, has nothing to do with what you want to do. It has to do with what the Torah demands that you do. And therefore, you're going through the motions. All that's necessary is that these motions have to be contextually correct, which is what is called kavana. I'm going through the motions in order to achieve that she should be free to marry. I don't know nothing about it. Well, taking off a shoe. I mean, it's just crazy stuff. It's all mysticism. This is what the Torah said to do, right? Fine. So therefore, the ta'ut in the ratzon is meaningless, says the Rambam. Because what's important is Sharei Nitkavein L'Chotza. That's all. And that's all that we need. Therefore, continues Reb Chaim, therefore, we don't need witnesses. The witnesses we only need for the fact that we should know that it happened, like the Gemara said. But there's nothing about chalitza that is more than the act. And since the Torah says the act is what's important, why do we need witnesses to an act other than to know that it happened, obviously? So where a maisa is nogea, the connection of the act to the purpose of the act and the involvement of Yeratzon, we need witnesses because that is part of the actual kiyum of what the act achieves. But where only the act achieves it and there's no other issue at all, just tell me, did she take off his shoe with that intent or not? Did he go in there with that intent? That's all I need to know. But it was all a fake out. So who cares about what they were wanted to do? It's beautiful. Like this, you take for granted. Kavana and Rutz are the same thing. You want to do it. That's your Kavana. Two totally different worlds. Amazing. Okay. So therefore, we now understand the whole centerpiece over here of what Rabbi Yochanan is saying. And it actually defines what we learned yesterday. Wasn't really yesterday, but what we learned yesterday, which was that we don't need the Edim in order for it to be Mekuyam, only to find out. Okay, excellent. So, says the Gemara, yes, and we can see that Rabbi Yochanan is right, because the Braita actually says this, and that is Tanya Nami Archi, Chalitza Muteit Kshera. And it explains beferish what is meant by chalitza muteit, ezohi chalitza muteit, kol sha'omrim chalotzla amanat shititein lecha mataim zuz. And there was once a story of a woman who was nafla lifnei yavam she'en hagut.
I didn't quite catch that.
I wasn't talking to you, Mr. Siri. Go away. So she was nafla lifnei yavam she'en hagunla. So she falls to this guy who is really not the right Yavam for her. And because of that, they wanted to make sure, even though he was insisting that he wants to marry her, he doesn't want to give her chalitza. So they said to him, chalotzla manachi ten lecha mataim zuz. So he said, oh, okay. Ubama selef ne Rebbe Chiya, she never gave him the money. And he said, well, it's kosher, you know, forget the pretense. So now, Ahu the Ata Lakame de Rebbe Chiya Bar Abba. So it was a maisa like this, and he comes together with his Yavama to Rebbe Chiya Bar Abba, and he says to her, okay, Biti, Amodi, my daughter, get up and do what you got to do. It's two Lashonas over here. Amodi can simply mean in Lashon HaKodesh, as Rashi points out in Chumash, it means prepare yourself for doing what you got to do. So, like we would say in English, get up and do it. It doesn't mean get up. But the other pshat is, in Rashi, is that it really is get up. Because we're learning out from the din of Rivim, where it says, va'amdu shnei anashim. So, va'amdu means it's going to be doing it in front of Besdin. It has to be ba'amida. If that's the case, as Tosfos points out, then what do we do about the fact that we said that it could even be mota and so on? So it says if he's lying down, it's okay. Why did he say amodi? Okay, so maybe that's l'chatchila. You have to be amodi. So these are the two lashonas. Rashi brings both lashonas. But her mother, who had come along to court with her, she was scared out of her wits. So her mother says, listen, yeshivata zuhi amidata. The fact that she's sitting down and refuses to get up, that's the best thing for her. So that's one approach, meaning that this is not a good idea for my daughter. So Reb Chiya Bar Abba says, what, you know something that we don't know? Yadatle? She says, I sure as heck do. I know in Momono de Chazula, she is rich, my daughter. And this guy, he can't stand her, but we know all he wants is his money. So he's going to marry her, use up all her money, and then I'll divorce her. Well, that's terrible to do to her. You can't do this to her. It's unfair. So then he turns to the Yavama, Reb Chiya Bar Abba, and he says, you don't want him? Lo nechalach? Amra Leiser said, no, I absolutely do not. Okay, so then he goes back to the Yavama, And he tells the Yavama, okay, you know what? Go ahead. And the way to marry her is by giving her chalitza. Okay, so Lobos Chalotzo Bekachata Konsa, which was Reish Lakish's approach, we said before. And Rabbi Yochanan said, no, that's not good, because then there's no kavana for chalitza at all, right? Okay, so that's what he says to her. And now, so he's got this other approach. He has him do that. And then after he does the chalitza, so then Reb Chiya Bar Ava tells him, ha, 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 now you did a chalitza. It wasn't a real chalitza, but it was good enough to passel her for you for Yivam, so you're never going to be able to be miyabim her. Ha! So now you might as well do your job and give her a real chalitza. Okay, so this way, he was sort of using Reish Lakish, but he added this additional cute piece in which he fools the guy into thinking that this is a chalitza. So chalotza chalitza malyata, so hashta minach ipasol, and now she became pasol, because you did this chalitza, and therefore do a real chalitza now. Chalotza chalitza malyata, ki echa detishtar yelalma. This way she will become muteret. So, okay, though he's got a new twist on the whole thing. The other approach in Rashi is that this girl was a cripple. And what the mother said is that her sitting is the best she can do to stand. So Reb Chiya said, wait, does he know about this? I mean, like, he wants to marry a cripple? And she says, yeah, because she's rich. He doesn't want to marry the cripple. He wants the cripple's money. Okay, but basically the same idea. Now, another maisa was that Rav Papa's father-in-law had a daughter, and she fell to a Yavam who also was not the right guy for her. And so the Yavam comes to Abaye. So he says to him, give her chalitza, and that way you will be marrying her. So Rav Papa says to him, excuse me, sir, but lo sava la mar la hadar amar Rav Yochanan? Don't you agree with what Rabbi Yochanan said? Rabbi Yochanan said that that's not called a chalitza mutet. That's not a chalitza at all. So Abaye said, okay, so what should I have said? Hechi emale, you should have said, chalotza manat shetiten lecha matayim zuz. Oh, okay, fine, I'll do that. yes, so give her chalitza and she'll give you matayim zuz. Anyway, after they do this, so then Abaye says, okay, now pay him. Rav Papa whispers to Abaye, she doesn't have to pay him anything. Because now remember, when he was saying pay him, it does not mean that he held that she has to be Mekayim the Tznai. No. It means that you owe him the money because you agreed to pay him for a job done. No, he did his job, right? You went ahead and went gave the chalitza, and that got you out of this pickle, and now you owe him money for the work that he did for you. I mean, you can't tell a taxi cab driver, you know, take me to such a place, and then say, I was only kidding. Like, I understand that maybe it's not a tnai, but it's still, you owe him the money. So Rav Papa says, there's another issue which you're not taking into consideration, sir, and that is, there is a klal called, I was only kidding. And where can you tell someone I was only kidding and that there was no basis for the agreement that I was going to pay you? Well, says Rav Papa, doesn't it say in the Braita, a guy is on his way out of prison. He just came down on this rope. The alarms are ringing. He hears the doors open. This is a classic A-team kind of thing, right? So here's the guy's running, and he gets right to, this is a prison that is in the middle of an island, in the middle of the ocean. He jumps, obviously, as any 007 would jump into a motorboat that's right there, and he's going to make off at, you know, 100 miles an hour. Well, this motorboat actually had somebody in it, the captain. So, I mean, if you could either shoot him or you make a deal. So you say to the guy, okay, listen, I got $1 million stashed away. Take me and I'll give you $1 million. Okay, he gets away. He says, okay, where's my $1 million? I mean, you know, I wasn't really intending to give you $1 million. I needed to get out of there as fast as I could. So the same situation is true over here. This would be called Mishaneh, Mishateni Becha. So if you offer him much more money than is the standard value, it's clear that you don't meet net seriously. So if the guy was running out of a prison, and he's got this ferry boat in front of him, and he tells to the owner, he says, here, take a whole dinner and take me out of here. That in Lelescharo, you just have to pay the normal price of a ticket because he understands that you're desperate. You're making him deals, but that you don't really mean the deal. So Alma, Amar Lemishatani Becha, you have a right to say to a person where it's obvious that you're under pressure that I was only kidding around. So she needs to get that chalitza. She can say, I was only kidding around. So Abaye is pretty busted up about this. I mean, here comes, you know, the son-in-law of the guy. He's a relative and he's whispering in his ears, listen, let me tell you how you should do this right. And then I do it right. And then he says, listen, you don't understand the implications. I mean, how come this guy is so smart, huh? And I'm so stupid. I know because he's a spoiled brat. People have been taking care of him his whole life. And he's been learning without any concerns. You know, I didn't even have a father. I didn't have a mother. I was a little orphan boy. And I had to get where I got with a hell of a lot of pain. And this guy's coming along thinking he's on the top of the world. You know, so he says to her papa, tell me something. Where's your father? My father? He's in town. Huh, interesting. And where's your mother? My mother? She's at home, you know, where I sleep at night. Uh-huh. That's what I thought. Yavbu Ene Shivan. They both dropped dead. That's how Baya was so jealous of him that Min HaShamayim, they started thinking, does this guy, Papa, really deserve all of this? Fine. Tana Rabbana. Chalitza Mutet Kshera. Now, we have a contrast over here between chalitza and get. A chalitza that is done in this fashion where it's mutet is kosher, but a get is pasul. A chalitza mu'useit is pasul, and a get mu'use is kosher. So now we were assuming, so in other words, if you give a get and you make a condition, if the mutet is defined the way Rabbi Yochanan defines mutet, so then a condition in a get, since you can give a get through a shliach, right? You could tell someone, write a get and give it to my wife, and that will be a perfectly kosher get. But you cannot say, do chalitza for me to my yevama. Now, believe it or not, there is a wealth of discussion as to why you can't do that. Now, obviously, if we understand chalitza the way we just did, it's quite clear why you can't do that. It's an insane question. That would be like asking someone to go to the bathroom for you. The whole point of the act of chalitza is that it's the relationship between the yavam and the yavam. What are you asking somebody else to be your shliach for chalitza? So, I don't know. It appears to me that people that are Isaac in this question of why there's no dinner shlichas by chalitza are sort of missing the boat, but I don't want to say anything. Anyway, so therefore there would be a major difference between the two. If the issue is the question about whether you can make a tanai on something where you can't do it with a shliach, of course, I mean, according to the Rambam, it's obvious what the difference is. Anyway, the Gemara wants to know whether is this really a fundamental difference between get and chalitza? Because, I mean, what's the case over here? Hechinam. Idioma rotza ani. If the case over here was mu'useit, mu'useit means the bezdin enforces it. Now you're telling me there's a difference if a bezdin enforces a get or if a bezdin enforces a chalitza. Remember that if the guy does not say, I want this, rotza ani, and I am doing it, so then why would chalitza be a problem? It says over here, chalitza mu'useit is psula. Why is it psula? He said, I'm ready to do the act. So he did it. And if he didn't say, I am willing to do it, so then a get is also not kosher. So where's the difference between chalitza and get? Says the Gemara, there isn't really The Braita is presenting two separate possibilities, and it's using examples of the get versus the chalitza, but it isn't really two different dinim. It's two different cases. Chalitza mut'et is always kosher. A get mut'et is always possible for the reason that we said. Now, when it comes to a chalitza mi'useit al pi bezdin, which is done by force, and a get mut'et, both of them sometimes are kosher and sometimes are not. Sorry, it depends on the case. What is the two difference? Hoda amar rotzani, hoda amar lo rotzani. So over there, even where someone is forced, if he's forced to do a mitzvah, we understand that ultimately he does do this mitzvah, as the Rambam explains. The Tanya, where does this come from? It comes from the pasuk of the din of a korban oila. So it says over there, imo la korban omen abakar, zachar tamim yakrivenu el petach ohel moed yakriv oto. From where we learn that the Bezdin should drag a guy and see to it that it's done, which means that you could force someone. And yet the very next word is yakriv oto liritzono. He has to want to do it. Well, understand, if you're dragging him there, in what sense does he want to do it? Because you keep beating him up and hanging him by his toes until he says, okay, I want, thank you. That's all we wanted to hear. And so then it's considered to be that he actually wants it. Okay, tzad. Kofino to achi omar rotzani. V'chein atamotze begite nashim kofino to achi omar rotzani. So therefore, it would be kosher. Omar Rav, Omar Rav Skora, Omar Rav Huna. You should know that chalitza can be performed in a bezdin, even if the bezdin has no idea about whether this is really a yavam and a yavama. So now, I mean, you would say, well, wait a minute. I mean, what if the guy refuses to do chalitza and this girl hires some guy to come on in, pretend you're the yavam, come on, and I'll do chalitza to you and then I'll get out of this. This guy is never going to let me go, right? So why isn't the court afraid that this person is not the yavam? So how can they do yavam or chalitza? How can they do chalitza if they have no idea who the guy is? It's very simple. Because you can't cause any damage. Why not? Because we will allow the chalitza to take place, but we will not allow an issuance of a get chalitza, which is the document we discussed earlier, in which we give her a document that says that in front of such and such a bezdin, the chalitza took place, that you're not allowed to give her. So therefore, she's never going to be able to present a heter for her to get married. So the fact that we want the chalitza to be able to take place, the guy says, look, I don't have my driver's license on me, and I'm taking off to Timbuktu in 3 minutes. I got to make my flight. Okay, they say, so do chalitza. Later, they'll find out whether he's the guy or not. But right now, nothing could go wrong because we're not going to issue a get chalitza. So therefore, you can do chalitza afa pisha in makirin. And the same thing can be done with a miyun, because we also will not issue. They don't know that this is really a katana, his wife, and so on. We'll find out afterwards. But meanwhile, she can do the miyun. And then if we find out, then fine, it'll be a good miyun. And this is because of this, you cannot issue a get chalitza unless you actually end up knowing who it is. But that we call it a get chalitza because that's what allows her to present her status to a different bezdin, which will then allow her to get married, right? So she can show the rabbanut that she has a get chalitza from her previous marriage where her husband died. But here you will not issue that. And the same thing is true about the miyun. You will not issue a get miyun, which is for the same purpose, in which a girl comes into business and say, weren't you married to so-and-so? Yes, but I walked out on him because I was a ketan and I was with my enet. Do you have any document that shows that was done? No, I don't. Well, tough on you. So therefore, there's not going to be any damage that will be caused by allowing this to take place in an emergency situation where if we don't do it now, who knows when it'll be done, right? Okay. So therefore, you can't issue such a document. Now, normally, who writes that document? Not the court, the witnesses. So the witnesses say, in front of such and such a Beit Din, we witness. Now, in the context of that document, remember, we learned before exactly what it says in that document. Well, one of the important words in that document were V'ishtemo de'inu de'achuad mitna be'abanim. We became aware of the fact, so meaning we have absolutely determined that she was, that this, I mean, he was the brother of this woman's husband who died. So why can't we issue a document that simply leaves those words out? And then if we present it to another Beis Din, the other Beis Din will say, well, you know, I'm really sorry, but we cannot use this document to allow you until we find out what really happened over there. But this is not a valid get chalitza. So why does it say that we don't write the get chalitza at all? Because chayshin el Beit Din to'in, we're worried that the Beit Din that is presented with the document will make the mistake of believing that this is a kosher get, and they won't notice that leaving this out will be a serious problem. So then the question is, as Tosis points out, now hold on a second. If we're worried about a Beit Din to'in, so then even if we don't have an actual document, what if this chalutza brings in the witnesses that saw her and she brings them into this other Beis Din, and this other Beis Din, they're pretty stupid, and they're a Beis Din to'in, and the witnesses say, well, we were there and we saw this Beis Din, and it was Rav Kanievsky's Beis Din, and he allowed the chalitza. Oh, they'll say Rav Kanievsky's Beis Din, it must have been a kosher chalitza. Even though that's not true. Rav Kanievsky never said it was a kosher chalitza. They just allowed the chalitza to take place. But this is a Beis Din to'im. So why aren't we worried about that? Says Tosfos, because no Beis Din is so stupid. Why? Because once you need to start examining witnesses, then you're going to examine those witnesses all the way, because that's the din of chakira of a witness. All right, so you were present, who were the judges, and was it established that this was really the Yovam? I don't know. Oh, really? You don't know. Thank you. End of case. Okay, so any Beis Din is going to do that. But when you bring in a document, I mean, you know, a document, now that's serious stuff, you know, it's all posted and plastered with stamps and whatever. Wow. So that must be kosher, especially if you do all the shtick they do for the international notary documents. You know, you sew it up and you put on these beautiful colors and ribbons and, oh my gosh, she is about as muterit as you can possibly get. So there we're chayish for a Beis Din to'im. This is reminds me of the kind of thing where people once upon a time actually would read the smicha. You know, so somebody got smicha, he presents his smicha. Oh, he's got a smicha. That's how they look at it today. You know, it's all stamped with the pretty ribbons and so on. Of course, when you read the smicha, I've seen this happen many times. When you read the smicha, the one who gave the smicha was very careful to make it clear that this smicha is ridiculous because this guy's a total idiot. And the only reason he has smicha was because the government insisted this actually was a big problem, because during the Second World War and afterwards the Korean War, so the government was allowing the yeshivas this heter that anybody was going to yeshiva wouldn't get drafted, but that's because they claimed that they were going to provide chaplains for the army and for the navy and so on. And so they had to give a smicha for the chaplain, right? So, but it would always say in these kinds of smichas something that made it very clear to anyone intelligent, do not hire this guy as a rabbi. So like they would write something like, yore, yore, achi avo more. Meaning until Mashiach comes, but what it really means is until there's somebody who knows something about the halacha, he'll keep saying whatever he wants. All kinds of stuff like that, where it would be very clear, this is not the guy you want to hire. So again, but if you put pretty ribbons on it, and then you put it inside of a glass, you know, a picture frame and so on, and then you hang it behind your desk. Wow, you know, this guy must be for real. It's like, you know, the local doctor who doesn't know a darn thing, but he's got pretty ribbons. So, same kind of situation. Anyway, so that would be the nafkamina sestosis, which is really cute because it's so human. The Rava Didei Amar, Rava says, I personally disagree. I say you do not do a chalitza unless the Beis Din can establish that this actually is the correct yovam. And we do not do miyun unless we know that this is a child who is really married to this person in Rabona. And therefore, according to my approach, we always will issue a get chalitza, and we can do that even though the witnesses don't know who it is, but if the court did it, so then the witnesses can say it was done, and we can attest to the fact that it was done, and obviously the Beis Din did know. And that's because lo chashinan lebeit din to'im. In this case, lo chashinan lebeit din to'im, the way Rashi understands it, is a reference to the first Beis Din. In other words, we're not concerned that if witnesses write, and the Beis Din allowed this, that maybe the Beis Din was stupid and they allowed it, even though they didn't know. No, we assume that they did know. And now Sir Richard, as planned, has arrived at the very moment in which his presence is absolutely critical for our ability to continue. And he will now give us... so Hersula Rebbe, otherwise known when he's out of his own area as the Talisker Rebbe, has now given us our rights to continue. So says the Mishnah, Mitzvat Chalitza. So now let us wrap it up, says the Mishnah. We're going to tell you in a very short form how it is to go about doing chalitza correctly. Okay, mitzvah chalitza. The guy comes into the courtroom with his yivama. The dayanim, they give him the psychological advice. Ein masin lo etzo genet lo, as we said before. What do you need to start up with this young chick? She's just going to make demands on you. You don't want to have this, and so on and so forth. Shenemar v'karulo ziknei ro v'dibru elav. And then, the next step is, after that's finished, he omeret, may ein yivamila kimla chivshim b'Yisrael, lo ava yabmi. And he says, indeed, lo chafatz tilakachta. All of this has to be done in Lashon HaKodesh. And then the pasuk says, v'nikshayivim toy lav leinei hazakenim, v'chaltzan alo mi'al raglo v'yarka b'fanav. That's the next step. And since it says la'enei hadayanim, the roke has to be visible to the dayanim. And then we finish up with va'anta ve'amra, kacha ye'aseh la'ish asher lo yivneh et beit achiv. And that is it. Ad kan hayu makrin. We did not read to the yavam, to the yavama, to continue to say the beit chalutza now. That wasn't read. That was what happened, but wasn't part of the Kriya. But it happened that Rabbi Hurkanis, he was standing there under the Elah in Kfar Etam, and that Kfar Etam is where we have the Ein Etam, which is the main Neftoach, which is Lifta in Yerushalayim, and that's still there, all those old buildings. And it happened that Rabbi Hurkanis was there, and he did read the whole parsha, including Vinikra Shmo B'Yisrael Beit Chalutza Now. And from that time, it became the minhag, since he did it, to read the entire thing. And he also called Liot Gomrim Kol HaParasha, and that is with Vinikra Shmo B'Yisrael Beit Chalutza Now. Now, that part, however, is really only on a mitzvah on the Dayanim. They're supposed to say this chalutza now. It's not a mitzvah for people that are observers of the court. And remember, there were always Talmidim in front of the Beis Din, right? The Talmidim are not asked to say Beit Chalutza now. But as we saw, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no, It's a mitzvah. Everybody who's standing there is supposed to say chalutza now. And there's a girsa in the Mishnah, we'll see later on in the Braita, that repeats this three times. Chalutza now, chalutza now, chalutza now. And don't ask me why. Everybody wonders why three times. But we know why three times. We've always had that wherever something is meant to be a definitive thing, it's repeated. Remember even Benogea, the Omer. You know, Shabbat Hayom, Shabbat Hayom, Shabbat Hayom, Margalze, Margalze, Margalze. Send a show over here, Chalutzanal, Chalutzanal, Chalutzanal. We have the same thing by the Shkolim, where we're taking it out, and it's clear that I'm taking out the Shkolim, etc., etc. Omer of Yehuda. Mitzvat Chalitza. Look, man, you want it in a really fast handbook fashion. Remember, every chaplain needs a handbook if he's only got this fast. It's interesting. My father, Zatzal, was actually did the chaplaincy because the yeshiva had to provide a chaplain. So fine. So he agreed to be the chaplain in this big naval base. It was the Patuxent Naval Base on the Chesapeake Bay. So I used to go with them. He used to travel there once a week. But he also, meanwhile, he was Makar of this whole city. There was this whole little town of people that they didn't have anybody there. It was called Lexington Park. So he went ahead and he would give a shiur there once a week. Anyway, so from that, it ended up, the whole place became frum. They built a beautiful shul with their own building. They've all volunteered. They had people there that knew how to build, people who knew electricity and so on. They built this beautiful shul. But meanwhile, when they had that first flight over the North Pole, what was the guy's name? Perry? I don't remember. But anyway, so he was the one that gave the bracha officially to the people who were flying over the North Pole. It's just crazy how these things happen. So anyway, he used to have this little handbook because they gave handbooks for the chaplain. And since this was right after the war, they were giving out from the joint. They were giving out all of these printed sidurim that they had printed for the refugees and all these. So we had a house full of this kind of stuff. I remember as a kid, I'd take it to school and so on and show off. So in there, they had exactly what the Gemara is saying now. You want in your chaplain's handbook, you want to remember how to do a chalitza. Okay, here's how to do a chalitza. Okay, Korah, Kore, Choletzet, Rokeka, V'Korah. Got it? That's what you got to remember. So basically, she's going to come in, she's going to read the pasuk, and then he's got to say Lo Chafatzti, and then she takes off the shoe, spits, and then she reads again, which is the Kacha Yaseh. Okay, yeah, so what's the big deal? So you know how to make it short? I mean, that's what the Mishnah said. No, a Kamash Malan, it says mitzvat chalitza. This is only the mitzvah, but it's not ma'akev. That's good for what he's come to tell me. If you do it out of order, it's okay. And that's what we had before. Tanya Namiachi. It says, Bein shiktim chalitza l'rekika, Bein shiktim rekika l'chalitza, Masha sasui. It is kosher, even if you inverted the order. Amar Abaye, if you are reading the psukim out of a get chalitza, so again, you don't have a chumash handy, you're not allowed to say psukim bal peh, so you're reading it out of the get chalitza, he should not, when he's reading to her, remember we said he's got to dictate it to her, now she doesn't know, so he's going to say to her, okay, repeat after me, lo, lo, ava, ava, Yabmi, Yabmi. But don't do that, because then the lo is disconnected from the ava Yabmi, and then what she's saying is, he wants to give me Yibum. That's not what you're trying to say. You should say the lo ava Yabmi together, because otherwise it's mashma ava Yabmi, elo lo ava Yabmi. And he shouldn't say to the Yavam, lo, say lo, Chafatzti, chafatzti, lekachta, because then he's saying, I want to marry her. Chafatzti, lekachta. So don't do that. Make sure you say in one word, lo chafatzti, lekachta, says Rava. Oh, man, you guys are like so pedantic. This is ridiculous. I mean, for heaven's sake, somebody is reading one word after the other. You honestly believe that it's mashma. Chafatzi lekachta, and the low is going on something else. You got to be crazy. I mean, there's a limit to how many chumras you're going to come up with over here. I mean, by the time we're finished these chalitzas, nobody even knows what's going on. It's absurd. This is afsuke miltahi. All you're doing is you're breaking it up because you're dictating it. Who cares about that? The Bach reads over here, asuke miltahi. It's just finishing up what you said before in context. Nobody's going to make that kind of mistake. Fine. Rav Ashi once walks in to a chalitza, and he hears Rav Kahana, who's saying to the Yavam, to the Yavama, read the words Lo Avayabmi. Oh, so she says, Lo Baba Yibima. So she says, no, Lo Avayabmi. La Bibi Bibi Buma Yaba. So he says to her, he says to Rav Kahana, why do you got to try to get her to say everything at once? Can't you just say Lo? She can probably say Lo, right? Say Lo. Lo. Okay, Ava. So why are you making yourself crazy that you're mitzayir umakri lo avayabmi altogether? Don't you hold of what Rava said, that this is a ridiculous chumrah, and that he would make fun of you for doing this? No, said Rav Kahana. Rava agrees in the case of the lo avayabmi that it has to be said together. He was only talking about when the Yavam says lo chafatzti lekachta. So over there, the lo can't be referring to anything before because there was nothing before. But over here, there was a statement before because you were saying that before she closes with lo ava yabmi, me'ein yabmi, she said that whole thing, right? So then it could be understood. May ein yabmi lakim shame be Israel. No way. Lo. My good Yavam. Actually, avayami. He wants me. Okay, so there you really could make a mistake, but that's why this part I'm doing like that. Amar Abaye. You should just know that when you write the get, the problem is that you don't do sirtut. The sirtut, remember, is you have to score lines in the parchment where you're writing because you're not allowed to write psukim without sirtut. And therefore, when you're writing up the get, since it doesn't have the sirtut, don't quote the whole pasuk in the get because then you'll be writing a pasuk in the Torah. So what you should do is lichtov hachi. Akrino ledida, we read to her from the words me'ein yabmi until the words avayabmi. And that way you're not, don't have three words in one place that are part of the pasuk. And then write the following. And we read to him from the word lo until the word likachta. And then write, and then we read to her from the word kacha till the word chalutzanah. And that way, you won't have a problem. Marzutra, he used to do sirtut, even though it's an extra tircha. He would score the parchment, and then he would write the full pasuk. And that way, cut of the kule parsha, so that there was no problem. Makiv lamar bar ini, what do you mean there's no problem? There's no problem about the isser of writing without sirtut, but there is a problem, according to the Mandi Omar, who says, Torah tmima nitna, that the Torah was given only as a holistic document and that it was not given by Parsha Parsha, and therefore you can only write it holistically. You're not allowed to write. That was even Benogea. Can you write Chumashim on parchment? Can you write it for kids to study? It was a big problem because if you're not allowed to write it up, then you're not allowed to write it up. So, Haloni Tanli Katev, I thought we paskin that you're not allowed to do that. The halacha, however, is like Marzutra, who says that since what you're writing is not writing a parsha in order to be learning from, you're just, it's a sipur dvarim. So over there, only the iser of sirtut is nogea, and he did sirtut. Omer Abaye, the last thing I want to say is that if there was a real wind, and when she spits, the wind carries away the liquid, and it never ends up coming in front of the yavam, then it's not called spitting. Lost avalo klum. Because the pasuk insists, "V'yorka bifanav," it's got to be in front of his face, And that never happened. Hilkach. So in the case where he's a tall guy and she is short, so the moment that she spits, if she's standing in front of him, she already spit in front of him because he's looking down at her and therefore it's in his face, so to speak. If at that point the wind carries it away, it makes no difference because she was already mekayim it. And therefore, kelatatua ruach ika bifanav immediately. But suppose he is a short little guy and she is a big tall yavama and she spits, then we got a problem because until the spit reaches in front of his face, it's not going to be good. Be'inan adamati lahadi ape, and only afterwards can it go away. And furthermore, says Rava, suppose the yavama ate some garlic and she spits, or she ate a gargishta, which was like sharp, a sharp piece of clayish earth, and she spits. That's not called spitting, because it says viyarka. It means she spit the way people spit their own spittle. Mashenkin, over here, we're talking about something that causes salivation, and that was the source of the saliva. And in that case, it's not called viyarka. And therefore, Lekha, by the way, because of that, wouldn't you know it, we got another chumra for chalitza. Yep, she's not allowed to eat or drink because who knows if maybe the coffee made her spit. Okay, I'm telling you, every line's got another chumra for chalitza. Now it says, v'nikra shmo b'Yisrael beit chalutza. Now, that is a chiev on the dayonim, not on the talmidim, as we said according to the Tanna Kamma. But Rabbi Yehuda says, Tanya Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Pa'amachata Yuno Yoshvim Lifnei Rabbi Tarfon. And the Avoma came and he said, everybody here, get ready. You all have to say, Chalutz Hanal, Chalutz Hanal, Chalutz Hanal. Repeat three times. Hadran Allah, Mitzvat Chalitza, Beli Neder.